Hello, patrons. Hello and welcome. Welcome to the post show. This post show takes place following episode number 6 of Roleplay Nebula Jazz. Hi, everybody. How are you feeling about the episode? There was a lot of stuff going on. Let's start with Pocket, how are you feeling about Luna? Tell me where your head is at playing Luna Kiar, because I'm curious about the ways that I can best loop this character into what's going on in the world, and I would love to hear where you feel like things are at. So hit me. What you got?
I've been watching so much Rick and Morty. It's in my brain. I'm so, I know you're, that's ridiculous. He's different, but I'm like, oh my God, the way he uses science and then justifies it through, I'm a genius. Like, no, I'm a genius. And I'm like, honestly, I could imagine a mad scientist just going, no, trust me, I'm smarter than you. They don't have to be obnoxious and crazy, but I would argue that being crazy is part of being mad. So, yeah. I also... to the public. Should I go?
That was awesome.
You froze for like 4 seconds.
So,
like
I couldn't tell like, she was frozen at first.
You literally went, I also.
Yeah, I thought you were just like really thinking.
You were just
on
stuck
it.
Like that.
Yeah,
like...
me too. I was like, oh no. What's happening here?
No, that was just thinking. Yeah. No, but seriously, her goal is. Did you not know her mission, right? She's a Chisarian scientist from the city with towers that rivals the clouds, who is searching for the knowledge of true immortality.
There you go.
And what were the Mengasi for a long time? They were immortals.
Well, and I mean, the thing about like Xanadu, too, as like a myth, it's very much about like it's a source of Mengasi genetic magic. So, yeah, I think I feel like once you start learning, I made some notes about Xanadu and like what it could mean to each of the characters. So I think you'll all have. We're going to get to a place where you have that conversation of like, what do we do with the ring, right? Like, how do we deal with this thing? We have this power. Maybe we have access to it. What are we going to do with it? So I think that'll be fun. And I feel like
the last two episodes, I've tuned in more with my character and haven't steered clear of her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, where before I try to make the situation work no matter what. But now it's like, no, I'll stay in character and I'll just do what a mad scientist woman with these goals in mind would do. I feel like I've done that a lot better versus like breaking character to try and like, oh no, I have to like make the situation work. And no, yeah. You know what? It doesn't always have to work. I'll just go along with it and then get myself out of it later.
Well, and part of that too is like us being able to use compels to pull the story back to a particular direction and offer each other stuff to move things in that way. So I think that's fine. I think that's the best way to play it is to just play the character. It's been interesting watching the audience react to that though, because unlike a lot of role-playing games that sort of rely on cohesion and that idea of like we're all on a team together, you know, there's a pretty clear divide sometimes in this group that I think works great. Like I think we're handling it really well, but I think it's interesting watching people react to that and be like, well, why aren't they helping each other? Like, why aren't they being friends?
It pissed a lot of people
yeah
off.
why did Jesse and Pocket keep fucking everything up?
I did my deal. I think today I was the one that pissed more people
off.
Yes,
you were the shit disturber today for sure.
I mean, I've been watching a lot of Rick and Morty. I honestly like I was like, you know, why would I give a like if I can piss this chick off and it gets like the end means of which is Artemis getting towards a Mengasi Imperial Tower, like no, I don't want a Nagaran to stop her from getting to where she needs to go. I'm going to piss her off. And if I, you know, die in the name of science, that sucks, but whatever. But
die,
I knew she,
for science.
I had a feeling she wasn't going to kill me, but that's why I gave her the skull in the end. Like, here you go. Crush this. You'll feel better.
I thought that was a nice moment. The like the stress ball of
the
skull.
Yeah, the stress ball.
Just like, oh, yeah, I do feel better crushing skulls.
No. Yep. I tried to think more outside the box of the mad scientist instead of pocket scientist.
Yeah, I feel that. Artemis, your character, I mean, Dodger, your Artemis is in a pretty like focal space right now. How'd you feel about this episode? What'd you think?
It was fun.
Yeah.
It's fun because Artemis is very confused why Leviathan is suddenly like worried about her. She's like, yeah. What the fuck is this? Yeah. But also,
it's interesting because I'm trying to parallel, the relationship between Thuja and the princess in a lot of ways, because I think I'm starting to develop the idea. This happens sometimes when you're running a role playing game where you have a kind of vague idea about something, but the details of it don't become clear until you see repeating patterns in the game, where you'll let things that happen on screen be representative of things that are happening in the larger picture. So, I mean, this happens a lot retrospectively when you're looking at stuff like Star Wars, like Jesse, a lot of the EU is like, well, this happened once on screen, so every one of this species must be like this. Like there was a Celestan pilot once, so they must all be good pilots. And I think you can run into that as a problem, but also you can kind of leverage the idea of like, this is a thing that has happened before. And I think the idea of important Mingasi nobles and their Agaran bodyguards who are kind of like chemistry or pheromone bound to them, I think is an interesting idea. But the two of you are totally inexperienced with that and are outside of this cultural / genetic thing that would be built into both of you. So it's fun watching you struggle a little with that. You as a player, but Artemis.
That's fun. And also having an opportunity at the end there to kind of like push back on Rex a bit.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought that was a good time to have that finally happen.
So what I think I'll probably do is after the end of the next episode, I'll give all of you like a milestone to shift around your aspects if you want to do some of that to represent things like that, to be like, oh, maybe I am kind of important. Like, maybe I don't have to be so desperate. Yeah. Right. Because, you have your own abilities and your own life and all that stuff. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I'm digging that. Jesse, you had an interaction that I quite enjoyed with Leviathan today. I thought that conversation was cool. I like, this is a thing that I do in role-playing games. When a character is like unlikable in some way, I find characters who like them for that thing. And I think it creates a lot of like fun kind of like stuff in play. How was the episode for you? What did you think?
I like that. I got to drop a few lore bombs and I got to talk about myself and meet a character who I actually kind of like. Mm-hmm. And there's some interesting moments ahead, I'm sure, as we learn about just all of our characters' backstories.
I feel like giving Basil potential access to the thing that he's getting access to is a huge mistake for just like organic life in the universe at large. Like I feel like the danger ahead, my danger sense is just going off.
But yeah, it'll be in the name of the Chisaurians.
I mean, you're slowly figuring Basil out, which I think is interesting. I like that's a thing that's happening. I could definitely see Luna being the one who is able to maybe either stop or support Basil in his plan.
Yeah.
I always have a soft spot in my heart for artificial intelligences that don't have agency. So I'm always just like, let's just let Robot Man do his thing. And if, you know what, like at the end of the movie, if the Robot Man wants to kill all the humans who betrayed him, well, good on you, Robot Man. You know, like, I'm just
okay,
like,
good,
you know,
good.
We pretty much deserve it. So yeah, I'm interested in exploring that at least. Yeah.
Thank God none of us are human.
I mean, human, the organics. Yeah, I'm personally really curious because you and I haven't really talked about it at all. But and obviously you don't have to talk about it now. But I'm curious about learning about Basil's true form and like what he was built for. And
I've
what
actually
that was like.
The things that Luna's picked up on. I've actually sent a bunch of stuff privately to Pocket.
Yeah,
letting her know some of my backstory, so she kind of understands where I'm coming from.
There's like a small part of Destiny lore, and like I keep putting you, I keep like taking you and being like, this is what I think it is, but
I
don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to role play it without like making it obvious, so just like yes, okay.
It's fun that we can do this game, and this I think this is true of the first season too. It's fun that we can do this game that's like on the surface just kind of goofy space comedy, but that we're all like actually invested in the backgrounds of the characters and all that stuff, and like there is secret stuff to learn and to figure out.
I'm kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
Because Rex did this for purely selfish reasons, mm-hmm. and he assembled a team that would help him get the job done. And he didn't want to know anything about those people. And the mm-hmm. more and more we learn about these people, the less they gel as a team and the more conflict is going to come out. Just like stuff mm-hmm. like Artemis grilling him. Like, he doesn't want to fucking tell Artemis about that shit. He don't want Artemis to know about that shit. Let's mm-hmm. just do the mission. But people keep prying and finding out more stuff about each other. And that's problematic for Rex.
I don't know.
I need to think about how Rex will handle that.
I think Luna finding out more about Basil will be great for her. Maybe not Basil. She's an elf man now. But I feel like this team provides a lot more conflict than the last team did.
Mm-hmm.
So the last team, I think, even though like we were a silly group of people together, we gelled a lot better.
I'd argue that the first team was a crew with a singular purpose, and this team mm-hmm. is like, I've paid you and found her and hired Basil. And like the motives were never aligned to begin with.
Well, and that's where it happens. Yeah, and the question will be the question that everybody is sort of going to be asking, and part of the arc is going to be: will they come together as a team to deal with like an external thing? And like we're only six episodes into the season, and this is about like when the kind of oppositional force is going to come into play, right? Like there is an antagonist looming in the narrative ready to come out, and whether you're going to band together against it or whether you're going to end up seeking your own stuff will tailor the kind of rest of the rest of the season. So I'm super curious to see how that goes.
I feel like I just watched this the other day, but I feel like if all of us just watched The Hateful Eight by Quentin Tarantino, I kind of feel like that's kind of where we're going, where we'll decide our alignment, and some of us might band together in the end, and some of us might not.
And in the end, you're all going to be dead, and there'll be blood everywhere.
At the end, we may all be dead, but, you know, some of us, you know, died
for science
then.
But I really like that movie.
It was a really good movie for that, where it's like no one had the same purpose. Everyone had their own. But it was about a bunch of interesting characters that interacted very well.
Yeah, totally. Well, and that style of play, that like the players are not all on the same team, they're at cross purposes, but we're finding out kind of where those alliances are going to be made. That's actually fairly popular in sort of like, not so much in tabletop, but in like short form LARP does a ton of that, where it's like, all right, everybody, we're gonna do this game and it's 2 hours long. Here's all your characters. You're all basically at cross purposes, but you might be friends with some of them depending on how they play. And I think it can totally work. I think it's something that we can play around, especially because we're all able to have this time afterwards to talk about it and kind of like think about how that's playing out.
Yeah,
I'm digging it. I like adversarial content. As long as the adversarial stuff comes from someone who is not the person resisting the adversary, then we're good. I don't care if it's me or if it's one of you against each other. It's all fun for me. My job is just to kind of ringmaster this business. But I'm having a great time, and I thought this was a good episode. And I'm really excited to do some more expository stuff next time. Cool. Anybody have any additional thoughts, feelings?
I like this season a lot just because I feel like I personally am branching out from.
Yeah, well, I've noticed that too. We've had some of these conversations about not just this game, but about role playing in general and like how to think about your characters, and that's been fun for me for sure. Cool. Well, I will see all of you next time. Dodger, you got some homework. Think about the genetic heritage that your character may have, and then we'll talk about it next time. Cool. Well, thanks for everybody. Patrons, thank you so much for your continued support. And we will see you next week. Thanks for coming, everybody. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.